It's too cold. My phone is frozen, I think. That's okay. Just make sure I time myself. Good morning. Merry Christmas. It's the Christmas season, right? Christmas is not just about looking back, looking to the past, about Jesus' birth and God became man to live with us, to save us. And it's also about looking forward that the same Jesus Christ, the God-man, will come again to deliver us from all this place of pain and suffering forever and forever. We are thankful for this Christmas season, but people will say the most depressing season of the year. Would you guess what season that is? What do you think? Oh, you can talk. Don't worry about me. Just you can speak up. What is the most depressing season of the year? Is it working? Is it working? Aha! No secret to joy. There's a message today. What is the most depressing season of the year? Fall? December. Okay. I think you're all right. Winter season, right? Pretty much Christmas season. You know why? Google it. Huh? I mean, it could be different kinds of reasons, right? I mean, one of the main reasons is that we have shorter daylight. Not enough sun to make us bright. That's why we are not so happy, right? So it's a good time to share about the lesson of joy. Continue to remind ourselves that joy is something that we need to really enjoy and really need to pay attention to. I think this one is not working, so you got to help me out. So let's go to the next slide. Let's read this passages together. Luke 1, 46 to 47. Shall we? And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior." Then this is the so-called the Magnificat of Mary, the praise song of Mary, when she received the news that she will conceive with a child, that is Jesus Christ. And next one, Philippians 4:4. Rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. So is it working? No. Don't worry. Go to the next slide. Now we pass this one. Let's go to the next one. Okay. Reasons for joylessness. I use this acronym, PLAGUE, P-L-A-G-U-E, to describe what steals our joy, what kills our joy in our life. Some of them, there are a lot of things. Actually, anything could take away our joy. And I summarize some of this. First of all, I give you a disclaimer. I don't use AI, ChatGPT, to create my sermon. Okay, nowadays you need to, confess if you have used that kind of thing, because I'm from seminary, so I pay attention to whether students have plagiarism or not. So I need to set an example, no AI help this time, at least this time, okay. So plague. One of the reasons is perfectionism. What is perfectionism? That could steal our joy. This psychologist quoted Winston Churchill's word. Winston Churchill said this: "They say that nobody is perfect. Then they tell you practice makes perfect. I wish they'll make up their minds. Which one?" There is no perfect definition, he said, this psychologist said. But perfectionism is often defined in three aspects. First, that this person will relentlessly strive for flawlessness. I'm freezing. That means you want to be perfect, always striving. Second aspect, you have outrageous high standards. That means something not realistic. Third, you have negative evaluations of yourself and others based on these unrealistic standards or expectations. And this kind of perfectionism will steal your joy. Second, loneliness. A sense of isolation. Even though there are many people around, you still feel like you are all by yourself. You feel like nobody can be trusted. People don't understand me. People are critical of me. And no one likes me. All kinds of negative mindsets that will make you feel lonely. Then you are a lone ranger. Third reason that will steal your joy is anxiety or fear, or we can call this pain of life, like mentally, physically, relationally, all kinds of stuff. Could be your illness, could be we aging, we loss of job, all kinds of reasons in life, anxiety in life will take away our joy. Fourth thing, our guilt. Guilt could be objective and subjective. Objective guilt, that means you do something wrong, sinful, of course you feel the guilt, and that is what you're supposed to feel. If you don't feel the guilt, you are a sociopath, that you have psychological problem. But most people will feel the guilt when you do something wrong, that is normal. But some people have this kind of subjective guilt, that means they will feel guilty all the time, feeling like they are not doing enough, not doing right all the time, and just not doing anything useful, feeling guilty all the time. And this is sometimes is not consistent with the objective guilt. Not real, something that you have in your emotion, in your feeling. And that will take away your joy. And fifth thing is ungratefulness. Of course, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, talking about rejoice all the time, be thankful, and that people, we are not thankful, that's why it creates joylessness in our life. When we assume everything we deserve, like we wake up, oh, I wake up every day. Oh, I have a car to drive. Oh, this is what I buy. And you feel like everything that you have is what you deserve, but not necessarily. Everything actually is given by God and it's a gift of God. But we don't have a heart of gratefulness. We will have a lot of complaint, bitterness, and all kinds of joylessness. And the last one is envy or jealousy. Because out of comparison, we compare with people and we feel like, why people have that and I don't have it? Do you have that kind of feeling? No, you don't want to, you don't, okay. I know you don't have it, I have it, okay. So we look at Facebook. Nowadays, do you use Facebook? No longer? TikTok? What kind of social media are you using? Older people like me, you still look at Facebook, right? You scroll all the time? And you feel like, why people have this and that? Why people go places like this and that? And why not me? You know, you have this kind of envy and jealousy, you know, coming out from your heart. You don't say it, but you feel it, right? You cannot swallow it. Your eyes becoming red in Chinese. 眼睛开始红啊, right? Well, it's why people have this. And you started to lose joy, right? So there are all kinds of reasons stealing our joy. Be careful. And I only listed some of them. And if we want to gain our joy back, and each one of them here, this plague, you have to deal with individually. It's not just the talk. You have every one of them is a big subject that you have to dig into and to know yourself and to find the joy again. I'm not going to give you a practical way of to be joyful again, of being joyful again. I'm giving you the biblical, the foundational stuff of why we need to be joyful again. There is no secret to joy. Let's go to the next slide. First, we have a definition. In seminary, you always need to have definition. And my students learn that. Whenever I ask a question, they will say, define this first. Because if you don't set the boundary, you have all kinds of discussions going on and you have no ending. You have no goal to achieve. So always define. Well, what is joy? This psychologist, also a theologian, defined joy this way. Joy is a deep spiritual sense rooted in faith and in the mindset of peace. Try to memorize this. Deep sense, spiritual sense, rooted in faith and a mindset of peace. When I look at this definition, I will say, okay, where is the feeling? Where is the emotion? Can you find the happiness here in this definition? Can you find it? Honestly, I can't find it. Why? Essentially, joy is not about feeling. Oh, you can feel joy. It's a kind of emotion, but joy doesn't stay in your emotion only. It goes beyond it. So joy is not just a feeling. It's more than that. So that's why this theologian says it's a deep spiritual sense. Sense can be a kind of feeling, but it's more like a state. S-T-A-T-E is a condition. It's a mindset. That's why he says it's a mindset of peace rooted in faith, in our belief. Sometimes you don't feel the joy, but you still have the joy. And this is what the Bible is telling us. Regardless of any conditions, any circumstances, remember, you have joy. There is no secret to joy, no mystical knowledge to grasp or a magic formula to memorize. Joy is a revealed truth of the intention of God. He wants us to be joyful. He says he wants us to be joyful. Let's continue with four things. Let's go to the next slide. How to be joyful again. Keep this question in your mind. Four things. Next slide. Do you like the bubble? The water bubble? Nice, right? I like it. I don't use snow. Snow is too depressing. It melts away. But this bubble water is good. Okay, four things. In order to keep ourselves warm up, so we have some motion, okay? Some action. First, look in. Let's do this. Look in. Okay, let's do it together, shall we? Look in. I don't want to do it alone. Please, do it together. Look in. Okay, look in. Okay, these passages. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, Paul said, rejoice. Rejoice and rejoice again. Philippians 4:4. Jesus said in John 15, these things I have spoken to you that my joy may be in you, that your joy may be full. Thank you for the worship leaders today for singing that song. We are the branches. Jesus is the vine. It's from John chapter 15. The context of this verse is Jesus saying that I am in you, you are in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you don't abide in me, you cannot bear fruit. And this is the context of it. And after Jesus saying so many things, he conclude with this verse. These things I have spoken to you so that my joy will be in you. And your joy may be full. That means nobody's joy is full yet. But Jesus' joy is for you, for me, if we abide in him. Abide in him. That is the message. The next one, please. Not the next one. Romans chapter 15. Let's read together. May the God of hope fill you with all joy. Okay, so here also talking about the Holy Spirit, which is God, the Holy Spirit. And He is the one who fill our life, our heart with joy and peace. So the message is this. Jesus and the Holy Spirit, the Son of God, the Spirit of God, they stay in us. They are in us, abide in us. It's not us trying our best, working so hard to abide in Him. Of course, we do our part, but don't forget that it is by God's grace that He first comes to us. And we receive Him, Jesus Christ, into our life. And then the Holy Spirit will come and indwell us and remain in us forever. And that is the mindset we need to have. Joy, need to have a mindset set in this faith, in our belief that God is in me. Regardless of circumstances, regardless of situations. Let's go to the next slide. Look in. So I will just summarize this. This is the Lord's will. Why we need to be joyful? Because it's God's will. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Do not quench the Spirit. I always put this last verse, the Spirit, together with the verses before it. Because always we quench the Spirit. We don't want to listen to the Spirit. Actually, this is the will of God that we need to be rejoicing. Second, so the Spirit life, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, and on, and such things there is no law. Against such things there is no law. That means this is the Spirit's life, Spirit's will, that we all need to have joy in our life. Not a mystical knowledge. This is God's revealed intention for us to obey. This is the will of God. That means, as R.C. Sproul says, it's like if you don't obey this, if you don't be joyful, it's kind of sin. It's sinful if you don't want to be joyful. And it's against God's command. So joyful is God's will, God's command. And no matter what, we learn this lesson. And this is looking in. This is God's will. This is God living in us, the Spirit and Jesus Christ. Let's go to the second one. Second point. So we had look in. The second one is look up. Let's do this movement. Look up. Okay? Look up. Okay. Let's look up too. Okay? Look up. Look up to what? And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God, my Savior." She said, "I'm rejoicing because God is my Savior, my salvation." There is one occasion, Jesus sending out the 72 or 70 disciples to preach the kingdom of God to all the villages he was about to go to. And he told them that you need to, tell them about the good news. And if they accept it, they have the peace of God with them. And they were sent out with authority, with power to cast out demons, to heal people. And then when they came back, they reported to Jesus and say, "Whoa, Jesus, you know what happened? We went out and we were so powerful. And even demons listened to us." And they were very, very successful. But Jesus said to them, "Behold, I have given you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall hurt you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. This is such a contrast. This is such a switch, a shift. Come on, Jesus. You know, we did so well. You know, we cast out demons and everybody was listening to us, and we preached the gospel. We did what you told us, right? And we should celebrate a little bit. You know, we should rejoice in this a little bit. But Jesus said, don't rejoice in this. You can dig into it. Why? Why you don't want to rejoice in this? This is what I found. Not yet. Don't be so hurried. So it's okay. This about Jesus said a word. I saw Satan, you know, came down from heavens like lightning. You know, this verse actually referring to Isaiah chapter 14, referring to the king of Babylon, actually alluding to Satan, the fall of Satan. The reason of the fall of Satan was because he wanted to be like God. He wanted to take over the throne of the Most High God. He wanted to be God himself. And this is what kind of attitude? It's pride. He wants to have the power of the Most High God. And this is, I think, the thing that Jesus wants us to be careful. Yes, you are very successful. Yes, you have the power to do it. Yes, you know that this power from Jesus Christ. But if you're not careful, you want to take over this power. And you become prideful. And pride is the reason that Satan falls. And this could be the reason that you may fall. So I think this is one of the reasons Jesus said, don't rejoice in this power and privilege that you have, but rejoice more in your names being written in heaven. What does this mean? In Jewish culture, they have so many books in heaven. God has so many books. That's why I like books, because God has books. You know, so they have the book of life and book of judgment. And they have all things written in there. Even your every doing of your life is written in these kind of books. And I think here this is more referring to the book of life. That means your name is written on there. What does it mean? This is the book of salvation. If it is written, nobody can erase it. That means your salvation is secured. Your salvation is secure in the hands of God. Nobody can take away from you, from it. So that's why he said we need to be rejoicing, because you have salvation in God already. No matter what happens in life, you are secured in God. And we should go back to this foundational faith that do not look at this, oh, salvation is, you know, salvation, I'm saved. But remember, we should need to rejoice in this, because God, Jesus, wants us to remember and to really hold on to this, that our names are written in heaven. Not by your work, how successful you are, how much you have, but because of grace of Jesus Christ, because of what he had done for us already. So we are saved by grace. It's not just the beginning of our salvation. You're saved by grace. That means it's the end. Your names are written there. No matter what happens in your life, you're secured. And this we need to be rejoicing. Let's go to the next one. Philippians chapter 4, for rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. And Paul continues, when we look up, we have not only have Jesus Christ already secured our salvation, the Lamb of God, secure our salvation, but also we can always pray to him. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. So sometimes we do not understand why this is happening in our life, why this pain, why this thing. We do not know. But if we continue to look up, to put our request in, that God will send his peace, that surpasses all kinds of understanding. And he will guard our hearts. He will guide us to the end. Because it's all by grace. It's not by our work. Look in. We have Christ. We have the Spirit. We have the promises of God. Look up. We have salvation secured. And no matter what we request, and it will be answered. Maybe not now, but it will be answered. So one more time. Look in. Could you do your action, please? Look in and look up. Another one, look forward. Like Superman. Okay, look forward. Let's do it together. Look forward. Okay, this is the third thing, to be joyful. This passage, James said, count it all joy when you meet trials of various kinds, for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness, and you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. Hebrews chapter 12, would you read together, please? Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin. Let us run with endurance, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Count it all joy. Seems like you have to count it, like you have to be thankful all the time. Count it. This is all joy, even though there are so many difficulties and challenges in our life. Knowing that these things happen to us is not without reason. There is a purpose to prepare us, to train us, so that we may be complete, lacking in nothing. Jesus himself is also an example. He was carrying the cross, he was facing the cross, but because he was looking forward to the joy set in front of him. So he endured. So we, as the disciples, followers of Christ, we need to follow him in this step too. Look to the joy in front of us. So when we see the glory that is prepared for us, the joy prepared for us, then if we look at the suffering challenges today, we feel like this is nothing compared to what we're going to receive. As if the Bible is telling us that we all can be prophets in some sense. Prophets can see the future that most people cannot. But here it's telling us we need to look forward, see clearly what is in front of us. The joy, the glory, the final salvation that we need to look forward to. And as if you can see the future, you, as if a prophet. You need to have this kind of mindset, this kind of vision, this kind of conviction in your heart, in your blood. Look in and look up. Look forward. And the last one, look around. Shall we do the motion again? Look in, look up, look forward, look around. Look, why look around for joy? Look at these verses. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. If one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. Sometimes, actually, most of us are told to empathize with those who have sad feelings, emotions, right? We need to empathize them. So psychologists, or if you learn counseling, you will do that often, and you know, and you try to empathize or sympathize with that kind of feeling. But the Bible has another part of it. Rejoice with those who rejoice. And I think this is the more difficult part. Can you rejoice when people are successful? Can you rejoice when people are more bountiful than you? Can you rejoice when people have more skills than you? Can you rejoice in others who are rejoicing? Think about it. Most of us will not and cannot because we have envy. Just now we say, we have jealousy. Why people better than me? Why more than me? Why higher than me, taller than me, beautiful, more? You have all kinds of reasons to make you so sad. But the Bible turns around and says, rejoice with those who rejoice. They have good things. Rejoice with them. Can you do that? That means if we do that, we have non-stop joy in our lives. I see Elder Thomas. Wow, he's taller than me. I rejoice with him. It's not looking back, I'm shorter, and you feel so sad. No, 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 look, rejoice with him. I rejoice that your children go to good schools. Praise the Lord. And that means you have no reason to say you have no joy in your life. Because you look at everyone else, have so many, so good, so good, so much good things, and I rejoice with them. And your heart will be filled with non-stop joy in your heart. Yes, you can empathize with people's, you should empathize with people's sadness. But you also need to rejoice with people who rejoice. My son, I have three children. The oldest is a girl, 23. She's in graduate school. And my boy, second, he graduated from UCLA, now staying at home. And for the past couple of years, he was lifting weight. Okay, you know this? Weightlifting. And we got gadget in our garage right now. Okay, he had the kind of weightlifting in college because it's pretty much free. You go to the gym every day, you know, 5 a.m. or something like that. And he worked hard for all kinds of motive behind it, but I don't want to guess, okay? But he worked hard. And he graduated, he came home. Once in a while, I will challenge him. I will say, let's do arm wrestling. Do you know arm wrestling? Have you done it? Any one of you guys want to demonstrate? Arm wrestling. Two people use your arm only, and then you compete who is stronger, right? So I, once in a while, I ask him, come on, let's do arm wrestling. And then, always, since he was very little, I already challenge him because I have low self-esteem. So, so I always challenge. And he is very good. He play with me, and I always win. So I rejoice all the time. You see? I think he was rejoicing too because he got to play with dad, right? What is better than that? So one day, very recently, before that I will say, and then he got a lot of muscles, right? A lot of muscles, and he wanted to challenge me. He's got more confident nowadays. No, he challenged me. I said, let's go, let's do it again. At the dinner table, everything out. So just two of us. So we tried to wrestle. And I won again. My muscle is smaller. So let you know, muscles and strength, they have no direct correlation, okay? Just let you know. So we did it. And then after 1 week or two maybe, I challenged him again. And then he came back. He was very humble. And he thought that I was going to win again. So he tried his best. And then we started an arm wrestling, right? And then, I lost. And then he said, Dad, come on, you're just playing with me. I say, no, that was for real, man. That was for real. Let's do it left hand. And then, I lost again. And then, you know what happened? I didn't lose my joy. I was so happy for my boy. I say, man, from now on, you are the man of the house. You take over all responsibility and bill paying. You pay all the bills. No, no, just kidding. I say, whoa, you are so powerful. How come in 2 weeks? It's impossible. How did you do it? You know my background. I have black belt in Taekwondo, and I have kickboxing. Last time I told you, right? But now it's useless. is useless, that I can no longer boast in this anymore. But I still felt joyful. I say, boy, you did it. Finally. And you say, yeah, your own family member, of course, you're joyful for your own family member. Yeah, that is the point. That is the point. We all are children of God. And God the Father, Jesus Christ, our brother. And we are supposed to be family and we're supposed to rejoice for each other. Rejoice with those who rejoice. But so many times we have jealousy. We have low self-esteem. We have all kinds of things going on in our heart. And we do not want to rejoice with our family of God. And that's why we so created so many tension, conflicts in churches. Very sad. We are family. We're supposed to rejoice with one another. Look at each other. Could you turn side to the back, to the front? Look at them and rejoice for them always. Shall we do the motions again from the very beginning? Look in. And then what else? Look up. And then what? Look forward. And then look around. So much joy. Why do we need to be sad, depressed with our life? To be joyful again, Paul said, rejoice in the Lord. Again, I will say, rejoice. Let us pray. Father, we are thankful that you are our God. You are not just high up there. You are also here with us. Not just here with us, but in our lives, in our heart. And we can remain joyful because you abide in us and we live in you. May the Spirit of God continue to remind us this day. In this season, we will rejoice. Rejoice in the birth of Jesus Christ, our Savior. And rejoice in Him again, because He will come again for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.